Lady Sharon, Silsa Sharon, Sunday, Parsha Shemini. Yud Zayin Adabez, March 24th, Shir number 10.
And we're towards the end of the first parak. We're basically explaining to us the person's golden life, the person should. What the meaning of life is, what the purpose of life is, what a person's goals are, and it's to achieve the ultimate pleasure, the most pleasure that is possible to achieve, which is what we want, really. We just sort of, since it's in the future, we don't really see it, but it's not really in the future, it's in the present. As we'll see today, Bezus Hashem, that the mitzvahs that we do, the mitzvah is really only one of the five things that the Mitzvah Sharon said in his Dhamma, that becoming close to Hashem and bonding with Hashem and feeling a sense of dveikus with Hashem, where Hashem is like on your mind, and you feel bonded with Him to the degree that we can in this world. In the next world, when we get rid of our goof, then it will be without, like, the mechitza of our goof, our bodies are basically a contradiction to spirituality, even though according to Ramchal, Joseph Sharon was written by the Ramchal. It's not really a contradiction, but it undergoes a purification process, and Ramchal's sheet is that Olam Haba reunites a purified guf with the neshama, and that's how we exist in all of eternity. We don't really understand, we don't have a conception of it, because there's no bodily needs, not like you get thirsty or hungry, or you have other needs of the guf. So what is the guf there? So we don't really know. Malachim also is described by many Rishonim as something more than just a spirit, something more than just an energy force. It is clothed, does have a kli, it comes in a kli, but Malachim we don't call it a guf. But the only thing that has no guf at all is Hashem. But the Malachim has something, and according to the Ramchal, the guf is also part of the schar in Olam Haba. Gan Eden has just the neshama, the guf is decomposing, and the guf is decomposing and is becoming purified, and then they reunite. So that's the goal. And the goal comes from the five points that he said in the Haggadah: Yiras Hashem, emulating Hashem, Avos Hashem, Shleimus Halev, sincerity, being devoted to Aravodas Hashem. And then number five is Shmiras Kol HaMitzvos, keeping the mitzvahs, keeping all the details of the mitzvahs. That's in the Hagdama. Then he says he's going to follow the system of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, and that's what the Sefer will be based on. Zrizos Zahit. Zahirus, Zerizus, Nakius. We'll be learning about these things. That's the structure of the Mesil Shashar. Then Perak Aleph, which we're towards the end of, is also a Hagdoma to the actual Sefer, while the Hagdoma was more of a general overview of what the purpose of the Sefer is and why he wrote it and why he felt it was important to write. So Perek Aleph says, okay, what's the goal? What are we doing here? What's the purpose? And once we figure that out, the Sefer will be the tools that we'll use to achieve that purpose. So, purpose is to bond with Hashem in Olam Haba. That's the ultimate bonding. Person is put into this world first, even though there are so many barriers to Hashem. Many, many different types of barriers, but that's the way we get there. That's how Hashem structured the universe. We learned in Derech Hashem. That's the ideal way. Hashem always does the ideal. And the best pleasure is that if we earn our way through Bechira and through overcoming difficulties, overcoming obstacles, overcoming our own nature, purifying our nature, melding our nature, our midos, our nature, our overcoming our desire for temporal, immediate gratification, overcoming our goof in order to bond spiritually with Hashem, and that's why he's in this world, and he mentioned that the world is full of nisyonos, and he goes through it. I'm going to go over it again, we'll go over it again when we finish the paragraph, and then we'll go over it again, I'll give a summary, that and he says the logic, why it can't be that what we see, life as we see it, is the goal of the world. There's just too many tzaras and too many difficulties, and it doesn't make sense that this is that what we see is the purpose of the world. The world has a creator, which nowadays is very, it's not fighting now atheism in the whole world. It never used to be that way. It was up to Zara, it was all sorts of different forms of spirituality, but now it's really nowadays because of various movements and different shitas that came up in the last 200-400 years. So we're fighting really a world of, as the Navi puts it, Yeshayahu, Echol Ishteki Machar Namos. Have a good time now because it's all over when it's over. There's just blackness and a hole, and that's all. So some people eat, drink, and be merry. Some people feel it's important to be a good person. But there's no, very few buy into what the Masil Sisharim says is supremely logical and is the only thing that makes sense, that this is not the purpose. The purpose is not to do what we do. What we do is the means to an end. Okay. Then he brings down Chazal, and I don't know if you're following the text. If you're not following the text, I don't know. But I'm learning the text. And he says that the way Me'at Devadayhu, he says, it's towards the end of the first paragraph. That's the best I can do. If we all have the same text, I can point to a page number. So it's clear. Me'at Devadayhu. So it's obvious and clear. The precision that we should employ when we do mitzvahs. There are people who do mitzvahs and they're sloppy about it. They think as long as their heart's in the right place and they're doing the mitzvah, so, I don't have to knock down all 10 pins always. This is good enough. This is kosher enough. This esrog is good enough. This mezuzah is good enough. And sometimes it is good enough. Sometimes it's not good enough. And sometimes the attitude is not a good attitude. And the Masil Sisharim says that the diktuk, the carefulness, the precision, in fact, the galinian hamitzvus mucho sheyiyeh betachlus adiktuk. You have to be as careful as possible. Now, of course, now it's time to say, of course, you can go overboard. But I'm not worried about people going. I mean, some people do go overboard. Some people are OCD when it comes to shrumkeit, and that's a problem. But that's why a person needs a rav. And the rav will say, no, that's not either yes OCD or it's you're not done. Not driving yourself crazy, it's important. You know, I'm talking to ladies who have to clean the Pesach. So. That's why you need a rav. You need a rav to ask if you're. But it's important, there's also an attitude out there that Hashem doesn't really care if there's a one black dot on an S road, and Hashem doesn't really care if I'm talking from a perspective of a man who has to pick the S road. And Hashem doesn't really care if I miss my Kriya Shema by a minute. And Hashem doesn't really care if I, and He does care. And even if He doesn't care, we don't know if Hashem cares or not. But Mesillas Yesharim is saying, your place in Gan Eden, your place for all eternity, is going to depend on not just doing them. If you realize what a mitzvah is, and as we said before, mitzvah is more than your ticket. It's not like we're all in kindergarten, and if we get enough mitzvah notes, so we get into Gan Eden, we go on this class trip. It's much deeper than that. This is our bonding with Hashem in this world. And when we get rid of the goof, we're left with the bonding that we ourselves created in this world. It's almost not even a reward. It's like exercising and eating healthy and being healthy. It's not a reward. It's, because you took care of yourself and you slept enough and you exercised enough and you ate carefully, so that's what you are. It's not a reward. So Mr. Sushan, throughout the Sefer, describes Olam Haba and Dveikus Bashem as the natural result of the mitzvahs that we do. Because the mitzvahs are not some capricious list of do's and don'ts. And it's not even just a list of good and bad. But it's how you bond with me being Hashem, how you bond with Hashem, and what pushes you away from Hashem. So we're really very lucky to have the Torah. That's what we have to be very joyful and appreciative and grateful that Hashem gave us a very big, a small minority of mankind. He gave it to everybody, but they rejected it and they don't want to know from it. So He gave us the means to bond with Him. Now the goyim can bond with Him in their way if they do the Sheva Mitzvah. They will never be able to bond with Him the way we bond with Him. We have a special status, Bonim Lamakom, and that's thanks to Avraham Avinu. Whoever wants to can become a ger, and every ger is Mishaches to Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu was Av Hamon Goyim, so it's not like we're very inclusive, despite popular belief the Jewish religion is very inclusive. We have everybody. We don't get any credit, we're children of Avraham Avinu. He gets all the credit. Someone that, by the luck of the draw, is not a descendant of Avraham Avinu, can be adopted by Avraham Avinu. That's what Gaius is. You're not a naturally born citizen, but you can be adopted. And that's fine. And that's wonderful. In a certain way, it's better, in a certain way, than people who are stuck, because they were born into it, right? So that's why Hashem loves Gerim, and we have to love Gerim, because by choice they did it, and it's never easy. Never, ever easy. We can't even, people who are not Gerim can't even imagine how hard it is, but if you're about Tshuva, then you know sort of how hard it is, because you're turning your back on everything you're familiar with, and you're turning your back on everybody that raised you and loves you and they feel rejected when you walk away from them, even though they shouldn't feel rejected, but they do. Natural. Okay, getting off the topic here. So Mesillas Yesharim says that if we realized and gave the mitzvahs their due, so he says, you're going to want to be careful. No, you're not going to say, it's good enough. If your eternity is depends on this, right? So it's not going to be good enough. You're going to do it as best as you can. Again, you might go overboard. So either you could know the halacha, or you have a rav, and you check with the rav. And but there's plenty of people out there that is good enough is a mantra by mitzvahs and by things. You know, it's good enough. That supposedly, and I emphasize the word supposedly, Haredim, that word means, well, what it really means, not every Haredi is a real Haredi, and not every non-Haredi is not Haredi, right? But what the word means in Tanakh, Haredim, the Dvar Hashem, are people who are conscientious and have this attitude that I want to make sure I get it right. And it can be OCD too sometimes. And it's well known that the Brisker Rav, Brisker Rav was like, if you ever see a Brisker saying Kriya Shema, you'll know what I'm talking about. And so again, you need a Rav to tell you how, if you're going overboard. But I know because of where I grew up, and there were plenty of people out there. I don't want to give a name to the community because then it becomes a label, and I don't want to give labels. That, first of all, my kids remember to this day, because we had to go somewhere for Shabbos, and I gave them a little speech before we went there, and they remember to this day that there are people that they live life, you know, but there's 613 problems that have to be resolved. The restaurant has to be kosher and everything's good, but they look at the 613 problems. I said, you're going to see things, you know, okay, but that's the real problem. I don't know, there to this day I remember 613 problems, but the 613 obstacles, so your life is an obstacle course with 613 obstacles and you have to get around them. But it's what do you know, we want to have it of 613 opportunities, not 613 problems, which is what the little sermon is saying. And I'm saying even if they pass that, the dictum is what he's saying now. You want to get it right. If you have a job, and you need the job, and you don't want to get fired, and the boss is going to check on your work, you're not going to say this is good enough, or at least you shouldn't. You should make sure you do a top-flight job. So again, life is much more complicated. I'm talking very simplistically. Because we have to go on with life, and there's a whole day out there, and we have a lot of things to do, and we can't I could spend easily 10 to 15 minutes in the morning making sure my tefillin's in the right place. And then I'll miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. Then I'll have to go to another minyan. And I'll miss the Seekin. And Seekin, you know, how do you know when sunrise is? Boy, it's limitless. How do you make matzah? You know, some people make matzah. They, you know, so again, so I say, he's crazy. He's OCD, and he's looking at me like I look at. Really, so that's why it's important that you have a rav. Not me, please. I'm busy.
The proper rav.
No, I'm talking like I'm the only normal one and everybody else is crazy, but it's not like that. You know, we know that there's that's wonderful. It's wonderful that there are groups out there that look at my matzahs as probably chametz, and I look at them as crazy. I mean, this is the way it is by every mitzvah. But you're going to find what Rabbi Chil Spira has. I learned such a beautiful phrase from him when he talks about kashrus. You're going to find your comfort zone. That's what he calls it. You know, nobody's saying that this kasher is treif, and you know, but you have to find your comfort zone. What are you comfortable with? What are have a rav. You have to feel, you know, it's very hard to fulfill this mitzvah sharm, but his marshal that we're about to learn is chilling almost. He says, "Kasher yedakdik l'shokle hazol," like people that work with gold, platinum and jewels. People that work with gold and fashion jewelry, or jewels and fashion jewelry, l'rov yokrom, because it's so expensive, they probably gather up the gold dust on the floor after the day is worked. They don't throw it in the garbage. It's gold. Gold. Right? It's expensive. It's gold. They're very, very careful. If you told those some, the result, no ledes, is going to show b'shleilus amita, by doing it properly, by doing it perfectly as you can get it. Hashem knows that we're human also. Very, it's hard to get it perfectly right. It's probably, gotta do your best. That's the old fallback. I'm doing my best. Like we said, we don't tell us how long it's. Gotta do your best. Hashem wants us to do our best. So you say, "Oh Hashem," but that, if you go, it means you're not doing your best. It means you're lazy and you're using those words as an excuse to not do your best. So how do you know you're doing your best? You start obsessing about that. Am I doing my best? Tough world out there. No, you got to be chill, and you have to be normal, and you have to be smiling, and you have to know that Hashem is only expecting us to do our best. It's the attitude, though. There are groups out there whose attitude is 613 problems. There are groups out there whose attitude is, it's good enough. Hashem doesn't really care if there's a black dot on the S row. And at least, the Hashem is, no, terrible, horrible, terrible. At least your attitude, then you say, listen, I have a life to live, I can't bake matzahs like a brisker. Let's say, you basically burn the matzah. We shouldn't laugh, the bodies are not that bad. With the rough, they don't let any water within 10 feet of the table, there's no water. They are so knocking on the rough. I can make fun of the bodies just do it, but I can't make fun of me, Hey, Pesach is in a category in itself. Pesach is in a category in itself. With not missing, and with, I have friends, normal. If something, if a silverware falls on the floor, they don't use it the rest of Pesach. They don't use it. They don't rinse it off in the sink. So they don't use it. Oh, yeah, Pesach is a category. So. But the point is, it's like gold. If you looked at a mitzvah like gold and diamonds, you would be so careful to get it right. And again, doing the mitzvah is one of five things. You have to do it with, it's hard. But this is what we're learning. So we didn't start learning the safety yet. He's going to take us by the hand, and he's going to take us through the steps. That's what Sushan is famous for that. That's what the Sushan have to structure. But to understand that the structure of the Mitzvah Sharim is levels and bonding with Hashem. It's not... That's what it is. Zahirus is your first level. And this is how you bond with Hashem. Zerizus, we're going to explain everything. Because the structure of the Sefer is not just a march to Shleimus. Until you get to the top, you didn't really do anything yet. Every step, he's going to say later, every step is a level of bonding, a level of dveikus with Hashem. And he just wants you to understand that we're talking about gold and jewelry, and think how careful the jeweler is when he makes it, and think how careful they are to get it right, and think how careful they are to not lose a piece. So that's what he's saying. He told us of no letters, b'shleimus amiti v'yokar hanitzchi shein yikar l'malchim, because the result is going to be eternity, and your level of eternity, and what level of pleasure are you going to have? This unimaginable pleasure that we can't even imagine of bonding with Hashem, the Tainuk HaAmiti, And you're going to have that for all eternity, not like now where much lesser degrees of pleasure are basically over in a couple of seconds, very rare, right? So sometimes we have emotional pleasure and that lasts longer. But that's like on the march from Gashmius to Ruchnius. So like this, you know, emotions. You know, that's not Gashmius, an emotion. I feel good. So you see, the more you move away from the body, the more lasting it is and the more satisfying it is. And it's not that maybe taste and then maybe you hear music sometimes, you know, and you really get sober from it and you feel, you know, uplifted, and that could last. Good last. Not nowadays, they're switching the igunim every 35 seconds. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Nimseinu Lameinim. So, he's summing up. We're coming to the end of the perek. Don't be nervous. We didn't learn anything yet. We're all like, you want to do it methodically, or you want to do Masil Sesharim Cliff Notes? You know? Well, I'll show you a video. 27 seconds. 27 minutes, we'll do the whole Masil Sesharim. We'll have a video. You know, people don't. Engage your mind. That's all. There's no easy way to do this. And this is a sharam. There's a nimtzeinu lameinim ki ikar metzias ha'adam b'olam hazeh. What are you doing here? What are we doing here? I don't know most people. I don't know. It's very. What are we doing here? I don't know. I'm going to get through life, and if I'm living a good life, I'm going to help other people, and it's Hashem, children. Marry up my children, and see them set up, and that's not the right answer. It's not the right answer. We're here to serve Hashem and to do His will, and sometimes people can be in very painful places, but this is where Hashem wants them to be, and that's what it's all about. Really, what it's all about is doing Hashem's will, and that's what he's saying. Who rak l'kayim mitzvahs, and again, l'kayim mitzvahs is just one of five things. The lavo v'lavo v'nisoyim. That's the name of the game. That's what Olam Hazeh is all about. To have difficulties and obstacles and overcome them and work on myself and better myself. So that final, why is all of this? If you remember from there, Hashem. So that the final product should be me. Because we have Bechira. And we have to thank Hashem. We have to be so grateful for Bechira. Because Hashem could have made a world and just plopped everybody in Olam Haba right off the bat and, you know, Shalom Al Yisrael. What do we need the whole world's history for? Why do I have to go through my whole life forward? Everything that is entailed in my life. Because you can't compare. That's what we learned in Derech Hashem, same Ramchal. You can't compare. What I earned, and Hashem, I often think about Bechira, and it's like really on a map. If you have a good picture of Hashem Echad, and everything is Hashem's will, Bechira is like amazing. It's amazing. It's like that I can do something against Hashem's will. So the simplest way of understanding that is the Rambam's formulation, which is that is itself Hashem's will. Hashem wants me to be able to go against His will, because He wants me to have Bechira, because this pleasure in Olam Haba that we're talking about is unimaginably more, infinitely more pleasurable if I earned it. If I sweated and I earned it and I worked on it, and it's mine. If Hashem gives a freebie, this is not the same. So, the Iker Amelos, the Seers and Olam Hazeh, to do mitzvahs, to do the will of Hashem, the Lavot, the Lamot B'nisoyim. The Lavot, Avodas Hashem. I talk a lot about that too, because again, mitzvahs is one small part. Not small, but only one part of this Avodas Hashem. Okay. For example, we went in Chazal Avodas. He considers He has an amazing Shara Avodas Elokim, right? He has a whole Shara devoted to Avodas Elokim.
Don't say do mitzvahs here. I mean, that's like, of course you do mitzvahs, but let's avoid it again. And to sum up and give you the cliff notes of Shara Avodas, Elokim Chayes Avodas, then I won't test you, see if anybody here remembers. Avodas Elokim and the Chayes Avodas is to feel gratitude and to feel humility and to say, you know, Hashem created me, I didn't deserve to be created. Hashem gave me a life, I didn't deserve it, he handed it to me. And he gave me this, and he gave me that, and he took care of me, and I feel small, like David HaMelech says, I feel humbled and small and insignificant, and everything I have, everything I attained, I didn't attain, Hashem handed it to me for a preference. You know, when I think of my life, and I think of my, you know, being an infant, a fetus, you know, I start with being a fetus. And you feel supremely grateful. According to the Chayes Halavos, it's startling. People, you know, according to the Chayes Halavos, if you're not talking about mitzvahs, like he says here, like Mr. Sharm says here, L'kayim mitzvahs v'lavod, what's Avodas Hashem? Moshe was an Eved Hashem. What does that mean? It means he did all the mitzvahs. So according to the Chayes Halavos, Avodas Hashem is to feel supremely grateful. And when you feel really grateful, you feel small. You feel undeserving. Because you're grateful of all the gifts that Hashem gives you. And in every breath we take, and nishmas, right? Every breath we take. So, and anachma must speak him. Lahodos l'cha Hashem alokeinu l'keinu l'seinu. Al achas me olef, elef, alfei, alofim, v'ribe, yervolos, v'mim atavos, shal sitim alosinu l'imano. And it doesn't even count. Digestion and every breath we take and all the things that the Chazal Avodas talks about in Shara Bechina. But the point is, Avodas Hashem is to feel grateful. You know what that is? It means I want to be an Eved Hashem. I will feel small and insignificant and batel to Hashem because everything, and that's Shara Hakniya, the Chazal Avodas, everything I am or do or accomplish, everything is Hashem. Right? So that's Avodas Hashem. According to the Chazal Avodas, at least, is to feel grateful, to think about your life, and to just be supremely grateful to Hashem. And I went to waiting for the bus today, so I stepped into the shoemaker, because the good old Israeli shoemakers do everything. They do everything. If you need a quick, you know, they do everything. He's a chayat, and he's a tailor, and he's a man, and he's fixing shoes, and he could do anything. I needed him to fix something that was broken by me, he's a shoe, you know, and of course, you know. And while we're talking, he asked me if I live in Eretz Yisrael, because he can't tell from the way I talk. Eretz Yisrael, you know. So I said, no, only 22 years. So Baruch Hashem, see, such, like, real, he's not saying how lucky I am to live in Eretz Yisrael. And do I have any mishpachim that's still in Kutz Lorenz and they should get to move here? It's so great here, and I'm so lucky I could live here. Really, very, very nice. Really, very nice. A good start to it. It wasn't exactly the start to the day. I was up for lunch already, but. Okay, and then it was raining, so, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's raining. And my wife said to me this morning, do you realize that the day before Purim was lousy weather? What we call lousy weather. Right. Wonderful weather, but we call it lousy. It was lousy weather. The day after Purim was lousy weather. And Purim and Yerushalayim was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful weather. Perfect weather. And I said, look how I said it.
It's pouring in New York.
What?
It's pouring in New York. Pouring in New York.
Yes, you are. They should be here in Eretz Yisrael. That's all. And they don't even have the gratitude when it rains that we have. Like we say, it's raining, Baruch Hashem. And they say, it's raining, you know, the picnic's ruined. Except for the California.
Yeah.
Then you're really thankful for the rain too, hopefully. Anyway, the L'kayim mitzvahs, the La'avod, which is a not clear term. But that's why I'm spending time telling you what the Chayes Halavos would say that word means. Avodas Hashem is to feel grateful. But that's deep. And it makes you feel insignificant if you're truly grateful. And that's the Avoda, that's why it's Kniya. to be nichna to Hashem and to feel that we're insignificant vis-a-vis Hashem, and we owe him everything we have and are. And then Malamud b'nisayon, what he said, because Malamud b'nisayon is life. That's life. Sometimes we look at life and say, why can't I have an easy life? Or even an easier life. But then the whole point, it's major. L'kayim mitzvahs, the lavod, which he doesn't explain, but the lavod b'nisayon, to earn our eternity. And it's not just mitzvahs, you know, it's not just in the soil, like, do I move this muktzah, no one's looking, it's in the way, let me move the muktzah. We're talking about attitude. The soil is if you're cheerful, if you're optimistic, if you're happy, if you're sumeach b'chelko, if you have a sense of Hashem watching you, it's really all attitudes. I mean, not all, but a big part of it is your attitude. Okay. V'anos ha'olam, having pleasure in this world, ein roi she'yilo, what do you have pleasure in this world for? Why does Hashem give you in this world? So there's an implication in the Basil Sashorim here that nobody's expected to live on bread and water. There's a lot of pleasures in the world, and they're very gishmak. And you know, there's such a thing called gourmet food. Right? Anything with ketchup is gourmet food. And she says everything. So you say, "Oh, Hashem wants me to have pleasure in this world." And remember, I told you that the Miller Zatzal says that when he heard shiurim from Yitzchak Isaac Sher, the Mashgiach in Slabodka, when he said, "Olam lo nivra el lisanig al Hashem." He said there should be a semicolon there, and Olam lo nivra el lisanig. Hashem wants us to have pleasure, and then the ultimate, greatest, most fantastic pleasure is al Hashem. But his point is, so look what he says. He says, so why does Hashem make a world where it's wonderful to have pleasure and things taste good, things feel good, and they're all pleasure? He says they're only there to help us serve Hashem, and this. Tens of examples, either it helps us serve Hashem because it's kishmak to have a car so we can get to where we have to go quickly, or we will make a bracha with more kavana. Like, there's so many different ways in which the pleasures of this world will help me serve Hashem. Before we get even to Shabbos, where there's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to have good food on Shabbos and to rest on Shabbos and to enjoy Shabbos. Not even talking about that. He's talking about the pleasures of the world. The pleasures of the world are to help a person serve Hashem. And that's their only purpose. And if someone has a big house, so that's not good. It's only good if, I hasten to say, if they use it somehow. I don't know how, maybe. They have to use it. Maybe it could help them serve Hashem better because they have peace of mind, because they could banish the kids downstairs and not hear them kill each other. I had that in Muncie. There was a downstairs which was rented out to Polish goyetzes. And then finally the landlord threw them out. And we rented the downstairs. Different life. Sent my kids downstairs to play. That became where they went. And who killed me? Do what you want. Like, if we have a second bathroom or a third bathroom, if I change your life also. But the point is that it has to help you serve Hashem. Right? That's why I don't know, like in 43 Sorotskin, where I lived my first 10 years in Israel, 15 years in Israel. So there was a Beis Chabad, they did put on top. Do they still do that? They belong to the right on their house, Beis Chabad. Yeah. What do they mean? That you're welcome to come in? And
yeah. And welcome for Shabbos meals?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. I had a friend whose son became very successful, a businessman in Lakewood. Yeah, he became so very successful, he became very rich. Very, very well to do. And really is remarkable. He came to ask me if someone wanted to move into a very big house. And he came to ask me, the father came to ask me, that if someone wants to know if that's okay. So I said, look, I'm not going to say it's not okay, but it's really not okay, but you have to figure out if, you know, either it'll give you more meruchas nefesh, you'll have more time to learn, or you'll make a hachnasas orchim room, and you'll always let mishulachim stay there. You know, you can do wonderful things with a big house, and you have to have it more. You have to maybe, I know somebody in Muncie has a huge library, a huge house, and it's like a library. People can come, and he has like all the swarm, like, and people come and use it as a library. You have to figure out a way to make it, to do mitzvahs with you. That's what he's saying here. There are pleasures in the world, and I want Hashem wants you to have them, but it's, so first he says, L'chshiyeh lo nachas ruach v'yishuv das. That's like the Rambam's approach. That the reason we want a pleasant life, and that's okay, is because we want to be free of worries. So, you know, they say, if I have worries, I say, this is my nisayon, and this is what I have to overcome, so that's good. If I don't have worries, then I have a sense of responsibility, that I have menuchas nefesh, and I have more of a responsibility to serve Hashem, because I have menuchas nefesh. And what's my excuse? So, like, everything's an assignment. That's what the Masilta Shom said at the beginning of the parak. Everything's an assignment. Shalva is a nisayon, and Yisurin is a nisayon. Because I have to overcome Yisurin, and if I have it good, I also have to have much more of a responsibility to get stuck on, responsibility to do chesed, responsibility to be grateful to Hashem, which is harder for an ani. You know, and so that's what I told them. You're going to get a house and make a room for Achmas or for Mishulachim. They always need a place to stay. And so that's what he's saying. But here he's stressing, really interesting, that he'll have Yishuv Adas. Now that's not to say, again, if you have Tzaris, you're not supposed to let that deter you from Avodas Hashem. Because that becomes your Nisayon. And you have to overcome the troubles and the trials and the tribulations and the obstacles, and you have to say, Hashem, that's your Nisayon in life. But there's no question that if you're comfortable, you have more Yishuv Adas. But and that makes more responsibility. So he's saying there are Hanos and Olam Hazeh. Their purpose in terms of Avodas Hashem is to have Yishuv Adas and contentment, and you're freer to serve Hashem when you're not worried. L'man yuchal l'fanos libo lo avoda hazos amutal asalot. Right? And there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's like good old Shulchan Aruch with good old Mishnah Berurah. There's a siman with one sif, and it's not chiddush, but we don't think of it this way. And the siman says that any pleasure a person receives in this world should be for the sake of serving Hashem somehow with it. Maybe it's make a better bracha. Because you really shouldn't be eating the seven layer cake. But if you make a better bracha, then you'll make a better bracha. Achrona, come on, let's go. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that every pleasure we have in this world should be direct. Figure out how it's for the sake of serving Hashem. And everything, eating, drinking, living. And it's really, it's a scary, I mean, I'm going to say a sentence now which is true, but say, oh boy, Rabbi, you just made it impossible. When I'm thirsty, I'm not supposed to drink to quench my thirst. Only. I'm drinking to quench my thirst so that I can daven mincha. Come on, because when I'm thirsty, I can't daven mincha. That's like very odd. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to think. And that's all. Again, this is all a hakdam. This is Zabrowski's way for us to start the damn saber already. Okay. Oh, do we learn next Sunday, or are you really thinking it's a Pesach? I think next Sunday we can learn. Yeah. Especially, my ESPN has
a lot of stuff. I'm so emotional. Rabbi Jacobson gave such a good mashal on Shabbos. And he was talking about the Rabbonim and how they are more,
indicative of Yiras Hashem.
And more fashion than even the
Rabbis. Right.